Our scripture reading is from Psalms 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God all my life long. Do not put your trust in princes and mortals in whom there is no help. When their breath departs, they return to the earth. On that very day, their plans perish. Happy are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is the Lord their God, who made heaven and earth and sea and all that is them in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He upholds the orphan and the widow. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations, praise the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I'm losing my voice. I've asked Sandra if she would read the gospel lesson. If you are able to stand for the gospel lesson, let us honor the words.
This morning's lesson is from Mark 12, 38 to 44. Better find it. Jesus denounces the scribes. As he taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." The widow's offering. He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. When he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury, for all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had and all she had to live on." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Sandy did a good job with the scriptures. As I'm losing my voice, we'll see how far we get. She has agreed that if I don't make it through the end, she'll finish the sermon. She's not even looking at me. She smiled as she could. Good. That's better than the, okay. She read the Psalm 146. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will sing praises to my God all my life long. And then he warns, do not put your trust in princes, in mortals. Happy are those who help, whose help is the Lord. I needed those words this week. I don't know about you, but the culmination of the elections, and thank God all those commercials are done. Amen? But now some of the ugly other commercials are on. So we just trade one for the other, perhaps. But elections are not over because some are still being recounted. And there is tension. There is still tension over a divided nation that is a struggle. So that was a part of the week, and then another shooting. And I found myself saying, here's another one. And it isn't okay to just say, well, it's just another one. But that bat was overshadowed by this horrific event in California, these wildfires destroy an entire town, a town of paradise, One woman there said that this town was a paradise, and now it's a hell. And to acknowledge that 23 lives lost now, a quarter of a million people displaced, this is a horrific time. This is a frightening time, if nothing else, for many people, many losing everything that they have. So it's been a tumultuous week in those respects. And I listened to the psalm, praise the Lord, O my soul. And it was good. It was good to hear God, and God is with us, and God is with them, and God is there. So I had to meet with I had the privilege of meeting with a clergy cluster, a group of us. We're broken into small groups of pastors, and we're supposed to support one another and hold each other accountable. And we gathered, and as we shared, I said, what's everybody preaching on this coming week? I've read the scriptures. I've thought about where I'm going. The tumultuous week, I didn't have a theme in mind, and I didn't know where to go. And so one after another, they all explained how none of them were preaching this week. Every one of them had a guest speaker or had some other arrangement, and I thought, you're a lot of help. But I paused and thought through things, and somehow it dawned on me that there's a common theme here. There's a common theme because we also are in the midst of our stewardship campaign. Carol came out this morning with stewardship cards. Did you see those? And you've heard a lot of preaching about stewardship. You've heard people talking about giving. You've heard all the words about budget. We've been just hammering you, haven't we? No. We appreciate you're appreciating that. We've tried to be low-key because I think it is something that we know. We just need to be reminded of. Stewardship's important, and we need you more now than we have ever needed you. But hammering you is not the solution. So we ask and we entreat and try to explain that we need your dedication. So all of these themes, and I thought there is a theme that ties them all together, and the word is commitment. That's a scary word, isn't it? We know that word from a couple of places. Weddings are a matter of commitment. Do you commit yourself to this man or to this woman? And commitment is about a lot of things. The easiest example of commitment is veterans. Veterans enlist and then commit themselves to service and commit themselves to following orders. And that's a big risk. That's a huge leap. For some people, it's very good. They figure, well, somebody else is going to get the blame if it all goes wrong. I don't have to decide and be held accountable. But it may be you that pays the price for their decisions. I don't know if it's true. They always said, there was a quote that Patton was known by his men as old blood and guts. His guts and their blood. I don't know if it's true or not. He was certainly an interesting person. But we appreciate that commitment, and we pray. We pray for good leadership and for wise leaders. Is that what he was talking about in the psalm? He said, do not put your trust in princes, in mortals. When they die, their plans perish. But our plans need to be with God. With God whose mind is forever and ever, and whose guidance is forever and ever. So we think about the commitment that veterans make, and we're so grateful. That commitment that has given us this land, that has kept us safe. And we honor them today, and we honor you today. But then we stop and we think about disasters for a moment. Do you realize that there's an issue of commitment around disasters? First and foremost, if we are in the midst of the disaster, we commit ourselves to God, knowing that in life or in death, God will be with us and God will take care of us. Those who have lost lives, they're at peace with God. It isn't an easy journey. And losing possessions. Praying and knowing that God never leaves us in whatever happens. But there is another piece of commitment. And I'm not sure how many of you as United Methodists are aware that we are committed to disasters even before they occur. Now, you've heard us say that you can give to the disasters, the California wildfires. I'm sure there will be a UM Corps number. For those of you who are not aware, UM Corps is the United Methodist Committee on Relief. And they assign different disasters that you can give to specifically. But that money is already going to victims, going to help people, already doing work. And there are specialists that are already in place. The churches in those areas, those pastors are the ones that are directing, that are helping. They know the needs, they know the families, they know what has to occur. And our giving to UM Corps in general means that there's a fund of money to be there for them. We're giving to disasters before the disasters occur. It's like time travel. Think about what a miracle that is to be able to give to something before it's occurred, knowing and being prepared. So we're the church that does time travel. You can start sharing that with your friends. Stewardship is a commitment. That one's a pretty easy connection to make. We make a commitment. We ask for a pledge. Will you tell us about how much you can give so that we can decide whether or not we can afford to do the ministries we have planned for next year? Can you give us an estimate of your giving? And so we write it down. That's a big thing to write that down and know that you've made a commitment of support for the church. But you know, it's an interesting thing, too, that we reflect back on the stewards and the stewardship that those that built this place. Think about that a moment. Somewhere along the line, they made the decision, let's build a big church. And I can imagine people say, that's going to cost a lot of money. Where are we going to come up with that money? And other people say, yeah, they're going to ask us for money to help do that. And how are we going to do that? And how are we going to fund it? And how are we going to get the loan? And who's going to be in charge of that? How's that going to occur? And they did it. And they built it. And here it is. And then they paid off. Anybody here when they paid off the mortgage? Any mortgages? Yeah. It's an exciting time, isn't it? Burn the mortgage. Have the celebration of having accomplished that and fulfill that commitment to provide this place that does the work of Christ. It's a huge commitment, and it's wonderful to acknowledge those saints and the stewardship that they had that went before us and that have provided us this place. And to acknowledge that we are the caretakers now, we are the stewards now, and we will be good stewards, and we are working at that, and we are progressing with God as our aid. We talked about the woman with the widow's mite, two small coins, more than all of those others that have put together. She gave out of her little, while they gave out of their abundance. Stewardship, commitment. And here's another commitment that we've thought about, and that is the election itself. These elections that occurred, they're interesting. I have heard people, I've had friends who said, oh, I don't vote because I don't want to have any responsibility for all the things they do wrong. When they do something that we're ashamed of, I can say, well, I didn't vote for them. But the backside of that is when somebody does something, I look at them and say, you didn't vote for the opponent. You didn't help us make some decisions. And there's a commitment about being a part of this country. And a part of this country being not just a secular nation, but one nation under God. And a commitment to say which of these candidates is listening to God's directions for us. Listening to what God would tell us. Listening for where God would direct us. My bulletin cover, Sandy looked at me, she said, God is for, and then she immediately said, ever. God is forever. That's a good answer, Sandry. You know, and I didn't even think of that particular piece. But I wanted to ask that question, who is God for? Now, I wanted to play with that a little bit. In the election, who do you think God would have voted for? Which of the candidates would God have voted for? Which one of those would have been God's choice? Well, God tells us who God is for. And we heard that. We heard that. We listened to the psalm that said, God is for the justice for the oppressed. God is for food for the hungry. God is for lifting up those who are bowed down under heavy burdens. God is for the stranger. God is for the widow and the orphan. So we now know God and God's direction and God's mind, and we can, from that, out of our commitment to seeing God's will done, we can ask, which of these people can help fulfill that goal? What is that about? It's a commitment to vote. You put your name on the line, you put yourself out there. And it's a commitment toward helping our country be the country that God would have it be. I'm going to close here. There's a Psalm 127. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who built it labor in vain. Unless the Lord guards the house, the guard keeps watch in vain. May this be the Lord's house. May we commit to being a part of this ministry. May we commit to Jesus Christ in the commitment that he has made to us. And may the Lord be a part of our nation and commit us to those things that he calls us to. Amen.